The following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
This episode from Radioland is brought to you in part by the New York City Guitar School. Learning guitar doesn't have to be an intimidating chore. It can feel that way. Sure, you're going to go to a music store and you're going to feel a little nervous. You're trying to learn something new and it's kind of scary and freaky and you feel like you're being judged at every given second. Now you can do this in the privacy of your own home. What I mean by doing this, you can learn the guitar in the privacy of your own home. Think about that for a second. That's an important distinction to make. Now you can do it by just simply going online over to their website, take a look at the videos, and pick up where you left off, and away you go. And it's on your own time, your own schedule, your own pace, and nobody has to judge you. You want to learn more? Look for the banner ad at radio-memphis.com that says, "Learn to Play the Guitar." Get on over there, take a look at their video selection, and you'll find a video called Guitar Tips and Tricks, and take a look at it. It's free. It's absolutely free, and you can see if this whole thing is right for you. And then before long, you'll be playing the guitar like a pro. Check it out. The New York City Guitar School, proud sponsors from Radioland. Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar. And this is From Radioland. Greetings, salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland. A show that has been a bit ranty here of late. I understand that happens. It's all part of the I don't know. I would say part of the plan, but it's not really that kind of. It's not planned out. That's just how it is. A lot of times I sit here and I go, what am I going to get into this time out? You know, the deadline has arrived. I've got to get into production. What am I talking about? What am I going to get into? And a lot of times I really don't. There's no script. There's barely any notes just for this episode here. It's just about three or four lines. And a lot of it is telling you about stuff that some of you, well, at least the ones out there in YouTube world, you're not gonna hear it. It's because there's music, and the music stuff is on the audio only thing. I know it's a bit of a stretch. Hey, bro, you're slagging the musicians for not playing them on YouTube. It's a long and involved argument why I can't. Well, I can, but why I won't? Because it ultimately rips off the musicians. So we're not gonna do that. I was earlier today. I do a lot of reading. Online. I'm through the web. I spend a lot of time on Reddit, as a lot of you do. Reddit's a wonderful. It's the front page of the internet. It's a good place to get news. It's current. It happens quickly. Everything is really right there. And there's some fascinating stories that are there. And I got led down an interesting rabbit hole some time ago regarding I forget what the subreddit was, but somebody had come across, it may have been history, somebody had come across a bunch of photographs from the Victorian era, and these were not like your run-of-the-mill historical photographs. These were not pictures that were intentionally shot for release. They were sort of gag pictures. They were not really gag either. They were just incidental moments that had been caught on film, is really sort of the best way to put it. Photography was still very young at that time, and people were, they looked at photography as a very special thing to have, or you're going to have your picture made. That's where that phrase comes from. You're going to spend the time and the money to have your picture made. And apparently, some of the photographs that were in this collection here were taken by somebody who was apparently had some money, because these were casual photographs. And it was a look at the way, it's a different look at the way people were during the Victorian era. And these are all, by and large, there's a lot of laughing, there's a lot of cutting up, there's making funny faces. These are people that are really absolutely no different from you or me. We look back on history sometimes and we wonder what it must have been like to be those people. And you don't really have to worry about that. I mean, people, why do you say that? Right? That makes no sense. Why can't I want to know what it would have been like to be somebody living in the Victorian era? But I'll explain it this way. When you look into the eyes of these pictures, and I'm a sucker for history anyway, and especially old photographs. Old photographs are kind of cool because I feel like there's a connection there. I'm trying to make that connection into that life. into the ideals of what it must have been like. I'm like you. I'm curious. But as such, you see the looks in these people's eyes when you have the genuine smile, not the one that's fabricated for a camera, for a picture, or that stern look because they couldn't hold their face in a smile long enough to expose the shot. I'm talking about what it must have been like to be those people. And when you see it in their eyes, the genuine emotion that these people exude in these photographs, you realize that they were no different than you or me. None whatsoever. They had access to things that you and I take solely for granted, photography being one of those things. You know, in the past, well, you know, God, in the past 3 years, when digital photography became something that everybody had in their hand, more photographs were taken during that span of time than that had ever existed in the history of mankind up until that point. So technology was really the only thing that separated us from the people of the Victorian era. And that includes medical care. That includes a proper diet. They ate different things. You know, it was probably some of that stuff we probably wouldn't care too much. But they were still really not that much different than you or I. They had their fears. They had the things that made them laugh. They loved their children. They had their family members. They enjoyed the same things that you and I enjoy for the most part. And I think if it were possible to have a time machine and you went back in time and you were to step into the world of the Victorian era, you probably wouldn't. You probably would find out, I should say, that they were very much like us. And they would be interested to know what the future would be like too, and they would probably discover to their own amusement that the people of the future were not much different than them. Because it's the one thing about the human condition that I think we all share is that we all have the exact same emotions. The circumstances by which those emotions get driven to and from, that changes by person to person, but it's certainly not a generational thing. I mean, yeah, they had their worries. You know, they were worried about disease. They were worried about, oh, that infernal machine that goes up and down the road without a horse. How is this even possible? You know, they weren't all glum either. You know, the Victorians were an interesting bunch, and you could make the argument about different times all the way up. I mean, look at the 20s, the era of the 1920s during Prohibition. They had their slang. They had their things that they would do that were very different than what you and I do. And as such, you really, once you scrape away just a little bit of the differences like that, as far as language and culture and things like, you find very quickly that once again they were just like us. They were worried about various things and fears. So it is cool to go back and look at history like that, old photographs, old film, things that you didn't even think, you know, you think that you're that separated from, but you're really not. You're only separated by time, not by feeling and emotion and the work that it goes to be a human, you know. Sure, I think if we had that little mystical time machine and we hopped into the future, you know, 300 or 400 years, if there are still humans around, I would probably be somewhat surprised as much as you that we're all still the same. We just have access to different technology. So such as it is, you know, and it goes back to this, some of the things that I've even harped on before in the past about things like fear. Fear is an incredible emotion. It's not just an emotion. It's a driving force. It is something that has to be reckoned with. It has to be confronted. You know, if when you're afraid, you're always afraid, or whatever it is that's triggering it, you're going to maintain that fear, and you have to deal with that. Am I going to close my eyes and run, or am I going to stand tall, straighten up my back, throw my chest out there, make a fist, and go after it? You know, flight or fight. That's the thing, and fear does that. And then there, and that comes in different levels. Fear also shows up in ways that I personally have never really considered, but it happens more and more to guys like me because of what I've done with my life, what I do for a living. I sit here, I run my mouth, I share some of this with you. I appreciate those of you who have been listening here of late. Our numbers have really gone gone crazy. I don't know what, I guess you're liking what I'm saying, which is great, and I appreciate it. But here's part of it. And this is a little peek into my life. Every morning, not every morning, just about every morning, let me put it that way. It's about 95% of the time. I wake up in the morning with an overall sense of fear that's looming right over the back of my head. It's there. It's fear that this is the day that I find out that I have completely failed everybody, or that I have failed myself. Oh, don't be so hard on yourself, bro. It's not about being hard on myself. It's one of those things that occurs, and I've come to grips with it. At first, I would run from it. I would escape it as best as I could. Now I sort of embrace it. It's not necessarily a flight or fight. It's kind of something in the middle. I'm a little terrified of it. But I was like, okay, you've become a friend of mine now. And it does, it used to push me into a state of almost abject depression. But it doesn't do that anymore. The fear for me now drives what I do. Along with fear come other interesting aspects of that. Frustration, embarrassment, perhaps. There's that, oh shit, that's the only way to describe it. You can't put any other words. It's just, you know, oh shit, that's happening. And I've learned to either ignore it or cope with it or embrace it. You can't shake it necessarily. Every morning, just about every morning, it's there. The mornings that it's not there are days when I know that that fear is tired of me. It's a two-way street, and it wins most of the time. And then I get on about my day, and I kind of put it back on the shelf, and there it stays. And that's what you do. You just go on. And then you, in the course of your day, you encounter your little bits of detritus that you must encounter that come with living your life and to get into those things. And for example, for me, it involves a lot of reading and staying up with what's current, what's happening in the world. That's because of the work that I do at Radio Memphis. I have to stay on top of just about everything. I don't have to be an expert at all of it, but I have to have a very good working knowledge of just about anything that can be thrown at me. So, you know, you do spin, and that's what happens when you're clicking along and you find, oh wow, this is interesting. I'm going to indulge myself for a moment and take a look at some old photographs from the past, and I want to look these people in the eye for a moment, because I'll never meet them, obviously. But look what happens. I find that these people have those same fears. You can see it in their eyes, because, and this is how I know this, you see them when they're genuinely laughing, genuinely smiling, genuinely having fun. Because you can recognize that. There's no words that have to be written. There's no caption for any of these photographs that would state that, oh, Sally's having a grand time. Well, of course she is. I can see it in her eyes. It wasn't staged. It's very legitimate. She was pleasantly surprised by the photographer taking a photograph, and she very immediately found something amusing about it. So she smiled and she laughed, and you can see it in their eyes that it's not fake. And because I know that is real, I also know that because the other thing that we have in common between me and that person that I've seen in that photograph is also real. We're humans. And by virtue of that, this person is going to have pretty much all the same feelings that I have. Some of them may be more, some of them may be less, because we're all different. But that person, should I somehow encounter them and have a conversation with them, I bet I could have a very interesting conversation about what things we have in common and what we don't have in common. And I can guarantee you this, that all of the things that we have in common will outweigh those that we don't. As people, as human beings, as people with our picadillos and our the things that we like, the things that we dislike, those things, they're all very, we share that amongst all of humanity. We all do. We're either separated by our own walls, by culture, by our own religion, by our own political stances, by our own things that we personally dislike or like. And once you boil it all down, you realize that we're all pretty much the same. And there's nothing wrong with that. So yes, the fear that I have every day comes, and it's self-inflicted. I can tell you this right now. It's self-inflicted. It comes from the fact that I am not working for somebody other than myself. I'm out on my own. There's people that are relying on me to do what it is that I'm attempting to do, what I've been attempting to do, what I'm accomplishing over the 5-year span that I've been doing this. Is it terrifying? Yeah, it's absolutely terrifying because I don't want to let anybody down. I don't want to be that guy that has failed at what I have set out to do. Failure is always an option, as the great Adam Savage always says. It does happen. It's a reality. I don't have to accept it. Therefore, I'm going to keep going, and I'm going to find a way around every obstacle that I can find. And before this goes on, if you think I'm giving myself a pep talk, or at worst, giving you a pep talk, let me cut this out of the way right now, because what I hear in my head every morning, what starts that fear back there, I hear tick fucking tock. I hear it constantly. It's that impending clock that is ticking. It's relentless. It doesn't stop. When it stops, I stop. That's how it works. When your clock stops, you're dead. When my clock stops, I'm dead. I join the people that are in the Victorian era, and someday they'll probably find my photograph, and there'll be some guy like me a couple of hundred years from now to look at and go, oh, look, I think that guy had a lot. I think I have a lot in common with that guy. I would hope. I think that's a legitimate thing to carry, the thing to have happen. And when you are confronted with those realities of the time ticking away, it's like the monster is coming at you 1 second at a time, and you can't get away from it because it's coming, man. Here comes the wall of the specter of death, and it's gonna take that big knife and cut that silver cord loose and cast you off into oblivion. And you want to be able, we all want this, you want to be able to close your eyes that final time with a little bit of understanding that what you have done with yourself was worth it. Life is short, man. It's too short to live under that thing of fear that even I have. Perhaps you do. And if you do, like me, then you don't have to feel alone. And it's okay. Some of us cope with it a little bit differently than others. That's why I enjoy a nice beverage every once in a while. Sometimes probably too much. And here's, you know, oh, no, you're admitting you're a drunk because you drink to cope. That's your problem. I'm not drinking to cope. I'm drinking because I like it. I drink also to escape it, knowing full well that it's going to be there waiting on me when I come back. But it's like going to a movie. You're going to sit down and watch a movie for a couple hours, and if you really get into it, you can tune out the world for those 2 hours and know full well that the second you turn off that film, your shit's waiting on you. It's not going anywhere. It's the same thing. I go to work every day and I have a great time with what I do. I do it every day. It doesn't necessarily feel like I'm working. I enjoy it. It's a good day's work when I feel sort of tired, you know, when my brain is, yeah, and I have to sit and separate myself from it for a little while and relax and then get back into it. It's like the thing that stalks me. I'm just as relentless. I have to keep going because back there, that tick fucking talk behind me that I hear all the time is just reminding me to get it done. Not a hurry the fuck up type of thing. Just get it done. Do your job. It's important. It's the fear. And it comes with its own joy. It comes with its own understanding. And it, and on the flip side of that, it also comes with another little package of which I have very seldom mention. It also will catch up. The fear does. And it comes onto you and cloaks you in its doubt. And that doubt is a good way to put it. It's a self-doubt. It's soul-crushing self-doubt. And that happens a lot. More so in the line of work that I'm in. And my colleagues, those of us that have chosen the entertainment business, show business, it is absolutely filled with soul-crushing self-doubt. It doesn't stop sometimes. It pulls away a little bit, and it lets you see past it. It lets you see your own goals, and then it blindfolds you again. It happens a lot because of the rejection, because of the fear that nobody, that your audience doesn't care. It fills those tiny little pockets that are supposed to be filled with happiness. It fills it with doubt, and you begin to question, is everything that you're doing right? Is everything that you're doing worth it? Am I doing right by you? Am I doing right by the people who are there to support my work? There are those, of course, I have like anybody else. I have friends outside of this. Shocking, I know, but I do. And when you chat with them away from this business, and you find that you're not always alone, and that's good. We're none of us are alone. Sometimes it feels that way, especially when you have that doubt hanging over you, and it's tied to that other monster, that fear. Doubt, I think, to me, is nothing more than just a weapon of fear. You know, fear is there. It's the thing. It's the big elephant in the room. But it uses doubt to screw with you. And I'm fairly certain. Sometimes it wins. Sometimes it gets the better of me. It does. It happens. And such, confronting it and dealing with it makes it just kind of back off for a moment. I know it's always gonna be there. It's always gonna be part of what is me, what it is my life is about, and that's part of it. I mention all of that so that perhaps maybe you might understand what it must be like to do what I do on a daily basis when I sit down for your amusement and rant about the things that I rant about, to make wise about the things that I make wise about, the jokes, the sick humor, the, you know, all of the trappings that go into this, what makes who I am, what your perception of who I am is what I've created. What I am when I turn off the mic, what I am when I turn off this camera, whatever it is that I do outside of this, most of you will never know. And it goes back to that thing that hides right there, just right behind your head. And it's that fear and that soul-crushing self-doubt. I know that fear pulls out from time to time. And on top of that, it's that ever-relentless marching of the clock. Tick fucking talk. Well, you know, I'm not here to bum you out by any means, and that's certainly not my intention. And my intention is to give you a peek into what that is like. Because when I looked at those pictures of those people from the Victorian era, I knew that I wasn't alone. I know that you aren't alone in this as well. And as such, you continue on. You hope you can continue on. And I'll tell you this. I know that depression is a very real thing, and people fight it. People sometimes lose that fight. And sometimes it could be overbearing. And if you find that it is you that is losing that fight, find some help, because it's there. It is. There's people out there that are trained professionals that can help you. Go find them. They're free. That's the thing. They are free. Well, I don't think anybody feels like I do. Yeah, yeah, there are those. There are those that do. And it's and there's no shame in that. So, you know, as such, you know, you don't have to live it alone. Lord knows I don't. I don't know that I could. It's all part of it. And if you want to know what it's really like to be a human, embrace those fears and embrace that ticking clock and know it. Know that it's there. It's not going to hurt you, but it's there. And then take a moment and go look back in time. Go look up something historical and look into the eyes of those pictures, the photographs of those people. Not paintings. You want photographs. Go back to the early history of photography. Find those people and look at, and put yourself into their shoes for a moment and look at them. Look at them as though you have met them face to face and you've just shaken their hand. And I tell you, it does. It makes a big difference. It's funny. Last week we talked about censorship. and here I've said tick fucking talk, and if I call this episode that, if I actually title it in the title podcast, I guarantee you iTunes will censor it. They'll censor the words on this thing.
We can't offend our people with the word fuck. It's just not appropriate for this sort.
Oh, shut up, fuck you. Silly, I know. All right. That's really all I had to say about that, you know. Just a little something to maybe help you understand what it's like for me.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
Because people that would truly have that quote-unquote gift would just wander into a room with a bunch of sick children, place their hands on their foreheads, and cure them of every ill and disease that they possibly have. Now, some of you that are listening to this are probably going,
oh, bro, oh, man, you're like, you know, you're being sacrilegious, you know. I believe in that sort.
You can believe into what you want to believe. I'm not telling you not to. But let's look at this in a logical sense. If there are truly people who can heal based on faith, then there wouldn't be need for doctors. There wouldn't be need for hospitals. There wouldn't be need for hospice. There wouldn't be need for all of this other stuff. It's there to make money, and it's based on the sale of false hope. That's how that shit works.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
When it comes to finding a birthday gift for somebody, I can't think of a better place if they're really hard to shop for than Wizards. They're a longtime alternative smoke shop and gift shop here in Memphis. Great folks to get to know, to go and love. If you live here in Memphis, they are easily found at 1999 Madison Avenue. They are open 7 days a week, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. The knowledgeable and friendly staff there will get you everything that you could possibly need. Say, look, I need to get something for my wife. Help me. And they'll look at you and they'll go, what does she like? Perhaps a nice woodwick candle. Perhaps, I don't know, some incense. Perhaps a shirt. Perhaps a hat. Perhaps some jewelry. Perhaps they have a ton of stuff. And they even have an adult novelty section for the really fun people, too. So find it at Wizards. And here's the thing. You don't even have to be in Memphis to go shopping there. They have a great online presence. You want to learn more? Look for their banner ad at our website at radio-memphis.com. All right, let's get into some music, shall we? This band has been around quite some time. I've become fans of them. I've been fans of them since I first heard them. They're a lot of fun. They are some serious musicians. They don't fool around. And like a lot of musicians here in the Memphis and Mid-South area, these are people who are all three of them. It's a trio you're about to hear. All three of them are in about five other bands. That's just how it works. But this particular band that they've all come together to perform in really makes it really special. It's just a fantastic outfit. It's Alicia Trout, who is singing and playing guitar in this. Terrence T. Money Bishop playing the bass, and the drummer John Bubba Bonds form a band called the River City Tan Lines. They have become very well known in the area. They're here and a great many of places all around the country. And from they released an album a couple of years back called Coast to Coast. We're gonna play a cutoff of that record. This is really cool. I enjoy this one. It's a little different for them, but it's great. It's got a nice little feel to it. I hope you enjoy it too. It's called Pretty Please, and here it is from Radioland. From the Coast to Coast record, River City Tan Lines, Pretty Please. Here from Radio Land, always a thrill to expose people to new music. Hopefully, if you haven't heard it, go find it. It's called, the band is called River City Tan Lines. Find them online, get the records, you'll enjoy it. And I tell you what, they have quite a few records. They've been around a long, long time, and are just and every one of them are very, very sweet people. So we certainly hope that you enjoyed that. I had an interesting couple of weeks since this has come out. My computer here that I sit at, where I do this work from, I went through an operating system upgrade. A little word to the wise. No matter how painless they tell you that it will be, it is never painless. Always, 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 always save what you want to save onto another drive. Get you one of them external drives, like a terabyte rig or something. Find you something to save your shit on, because when you go through that upgrade, you're going to lose your shit. It happens all the time. And that's what happened to me. But I was able, 95% of it was on another drive. I was good to go. I lost a few pictures that I can find those later. They're all stashed all over the world anyway. And a couple of documents. And I even got most of those back. So be careful. Word to the wise. You do a software, and this Windows suck. I can tell you that. Oh, I just heard all the Apple people. They all went, I told you, bro. Oh, I told you Windows sucks. Guess what? OS, it sucks too. God damn, both of them suck. And I'm not going to be that geeky guy that talks about the one with the penguin. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that to you people, but I like it. It's good. But even them, they have their issues too with software operating system upgrades. You got to look out for that shit. So there is that. All right, kids, you heard what's coming up next time. I'm done. I'm out of here. I got to go. I got things to do. And such is that. So until next time, take care of yourselves. Take care of one another. Don't let that fear and that doubt get to you. Just, keep it going. And for God's sake, stop shooting each other, all right? On that, I'll leave it here. I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.